You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to the Americans for Truth Hour. As many of you hopefully know, Americans for Truth is a single-issue organization devoted to opposing the powerful and well-funded homosexual lobby. That includes bisexuality, transsexuality, now, lately, sadomasochism. Hey, anything goes, right? Under the rubric of rights. And we had another interesting week at Americans for Truth. On Sunday, I went down to the Gay Liberation Network's protest. We're pre-recording, by the way. We're recording on Wednesday, the 15th of February, but we air Saturday night. I went down. The Gay Liberation Network was having a protest. This is a radical Marxist hate group, homosexual group, and they were protesting Cardinal Francis George. And I got down there. They were protesting directly in front of Holy Name Cathedral in downtown Chicago. An incredible sight to see parishioners having to walk through this awful protest, which included, by the way, signs calling Cardinal George arch bigot. And, you know, just hateful stuff. And yet they were allowed to march right directly in front of the church. The steps go right up to the church, very close to the street. And so I thought we were there. We tried to represent the other side. We passed out a sheet about the Gay Liberation Network's record, which I will discuss here today. They are truly a hate group, as opposed to the phony so-called hate groups labeled by the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is trying to basically hurt religious conservatives by pigeonholing them as hate mongers. The Gay Liberation Network has done some awful things, which we'll talk about. I wanted to do a show on Catholics and the homosexual agenda, where we stand, how it looks in Chicago. And so I decided to have on, at least for this week, possibly next week as well, one of my favorite people in the whole wide world, Jim Finnegan. Jim is just an outstanding, just a wonderful guy, first of all, but he's also just a great pro-life activist. And he also gets it when it comes to the homosexual agenda, which unfortunately a lot of pro-lifers don't. They're so focused on the life issue, they don't really think much about the threats to religious freedom, the threats to common morality, the threats to children posed by the homosexual activist lobby. So we're happy to have Jim on the line. Jim, are you there?
I am, Peter, and it's a real privilege to be on your program. Ditto on the nice compliments you paid me. There's very, very few people that have given their life and their family the way you have on this issue on a national basis. To my knowledge, 100% on this. You're really unique in that area. We're lucky to have you for my grandchildren and their children later.
Well, thanks a ton, Jim. And I got to know Jim. How did we get to know each other? I think it was probably through the pro-marriage efforts in Illinois.
That's exactly when it was.
Yeah.
When we sat down with another great hero, Dick Walsh, and David Smith of Illinois Family Institute, and you and I, and at that time you ran Illinois Family Institute and ran it extremely well, I might add, and we planned a drive across Illinois, starting at one of the parks on the kind of the south side of Illinois, or west side as I recall, going all the way down to the about as far south as you go. I know at Carbondale for sure.
Yeah, we went all the way across the state, didn't we? All the way down, and we had Linda Jernigan, who was a former lesbian. Dave Smith, and I can't remember who else, but that was a great time.
That was pretty much it, and you and I and Dave, and we did have a good time. And recently, I go to daily mass. I'm a Catholic, as you know, Pete, and the priest talked about the importance of people of like thoughts getting strength from each other, not only going to mass for the Eucharist, which we believe the true presence of Christ, but also the fact that you leave there with a feeling there's a lot of people like you. That's the feeling that I got as we traveled the state that time. A lot of good people really concerned about where this state's going.
Yeah, and it's really not going in a good place, towards a good place right now. Jim, before I go on any further, let me give you some background about Jim Finnegan. Jim, how many kids do you have?
We have seven, and we're blessed with 27 grandchildren.
Wow. And you're what we call a snowbird. Well, I don't know if that's what you call yourself.
You know,
but
no, that's you, right. Although
you go back and forth. You live up in Illinois, northern suburb of Illinois in the
Naples,
spring and
Florida.
Summer, and then Naples, Florida in the winter.
Correct. We're about 6 months and 6 months.
6 months. And Jim is just, folks, you have to know Jim to know his commitment to the life issue. He was, and I want you to tell that story, Jim, not now. Hold on. Let me give you the rest of your bio here. But Jim's got an amazing story, and I so appreciate that he is also working so hard to educate people about the homosexual agenda. Jim is a board member for Illinois Family Institute, which, as he said, I was once the executive director of. That's why I came to Illinois. And Jim is also heavily involved with Defend Marriage Illinois, which, and you can go to that website, defendmarriageillinois.org. It's a petition drive effort to get a resolution on the ballot, which would give voters a chance to affirm, state the need for a constitutional amendment preserving marriage.
Give them that email one more time, please.
Sure. The URL, the web address is defendmarriageillinois.org. And this is a group, again, they're trying to get a non-binding resolution on the ballot in November to basically affirm marriage between one man and one woman. Illinois has made it extremely difficult to put a constitutional amendment on the ballot on this issue. And so this is an effort to essentially have a non-binding referendum, basically a vote at the ballot box to affirm marriage, which has never, a statewide vote on marriage, on homosexual marriage, has never occurred in the state of Illinois. Jim Finnegan, our guest, has also created an effort called the Choose Life License Plate effort. And Jim, I'm just going to let you describe that. What is the Choose Life License Plate effort?
Well, that's basically an effort to offer adoption to families that have tried so hard to complete their family. As all of you know by now, people have gone to across the world to adopt their children, and we do know that adoption is a wonderful, truly a loving option for the mom that's considering perhaps abortion or been told that's the answer. So we want to make it as easy as we can for that mother to help her through her pregnancy if she's open to doing adoption, and the money that we raise through the sale of these plates, the specialty plate, all that money will go towards organizations like Homes for Unwed Mothers, hospitals, crisis pregnancy centers, organizations that will promote adoption as a far better a choice for the mother at that time.
Now, Jim, did you launch this effort?
Here in Chicago, yes. We saw this for the first time in Florida. We started this effort in 1998, we spent approximately 8 to 10 years trying to get a hearing on Chicago for this to happen. Bill,
you got to be kidding me. Just to get a hearing about it?
Yeah, it's the same thing exactly that you mentioned earlier on the defense of marriage or a petition. They make it so hard in Springfield to do something that they don't put their approval on, and this one is a perfect example. You have no problem getting the sponsors. People line up in the House and the Senate to do that, good names of people. But what happens then, in the first case, in the House, Madigan ends up giving it to a committee Democratic.
Hold on, Jim. Hold on. That's Speaker, House Speaker Mike Madigan, probably right. The most powerful person in the state of Illinois, hardcore Democrat. Okay.
That's correct. And should know better, his own daughter was adopted, Lisa Madigan, which is crazy. I mean, that's how nutty we've gotten on this issue.
And so what did he do?
He ends up giving it to one of the committees that, instead of the normal committee that would get this, it'll go to a committee like the Transportation or the House and Human Services, a committee that is known for being against anything that possibly would benefit the life issues or the family issues. And then it gets put, and also headed by a Democrat with a 5-4, 6-3 majority Democrat to Republican. And then it gets put in a subcommittee, which is as low as it gets. So it isn't even discussed by the committee, let alone gone out for an up or down vote so the people finally can have the plate. It never even gets that far along. So we did, after 8 years, sue them under First Amendment rights, equal protection under the law, free speech, and we won. We won at the federal court level by a judge, David Corr, who happened to be no friend to life in the past because he'd ruled against Joe Scheidler on his issues that went to the Supreme Court. But he ruled in our favor and told the state it's most definitely a First Amendment disgrace, almost using those words, and get going on it. The state appealed, and sadly, we lost at the appeal level. So that's where we are now. We're not quitting on this. Once the election is over, we hope to go back and keep going on this because we came close. Right now, 26 states in America have it, and all but five that don't have it are still working on it.
So let me get this straight, Jim. This is all you want is a specialty license plate that says Choose Life, the funds
correct.
For which would go to help people adopt babies.
That's correct.
And the Democratic Party has stalled you every step of the way in the Democratic power structure in this godforsaken state, Illinois. And I'm sorry to call it
they're beholden to Planned Parenthood and now the ACLU. And the argument, they've made it into an argument of life against abortion. That's what they've done instead of realizing this is a good choice. And wherever they've argued that it'll cause road rage and everything, not one incident. I mean, it's been so beautifully received in Florida. It's raised 14 million people in the first 10 years since it was introduced. We would beat Florida in numbers on the road.
Because
I know we would if we got it approved.
Well, we got 30 seconds here, folks, but let me just say this is a classic illustration here of the problems with the state of Illinois. Somebody wants to do good, and it doesn't happen. Something as simple as just a Choose Life license plate to benefit adoption. And here, Jim Finnegan has had to labor for years and years and years, and it still hasn't happened, folks. But he's trying, and he's a tremendous guy just to be doing it. We're talking to Jim Finnegan, who started the Choose Life license plates, and we'll be right back after the break. Welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour. We're talking to my good friend Jim Finnegan, who's just one of the stalwarts in the state of Illinois and Florida now for the pro-life and the pro-family movement. And Jim argues both extremely well. Jim, before I ask you to tell your story about how you became a lifer, and we're going to have to do two interviews, folks, I can tell you, because Jim's got too much to say for one. But Jim, you know, as I was saying, you know, with your Choose Life license plate effort, you know, the Democrats have stalled out. They've prevented so many noble reforms. And you're right. That's exactly what's happened on gay marriage. Mike Madigan, the Speaker of the House in Springfield, the most powerful Democrat in the state of Illinois, which means he's the most powerful man in the state of Illinois, politically speaking. He has blocked the defense of marriage, an actual constitutional amendment that they could vote on and give it back to the people of Illinois. It would need a 3/5 vote to pass. He has blocked that every step of the way. And yet Speaker Madigan, who is a Catholic, correct, Jim?
Yes, he is. He calls himself a Catholic.
He has put forward all the pro-homosexual legislation. Now we're seeing he let civil unions go through. He let the so-called gay rights bill go through. He blocks the pro-family stuff. He lets all the homosexual legislation out. And now all the talk in Springfield is about a new bill that's been introduced by three openly homosexual representatives in Illinois for legalizing so-called same-sex marriage. And so we've seen that same tactic. And until there's a balance of power and the Republicans get some way to check this Democratic power more effectively, the same old thing is going to happen every time. But Jim, let's talk about really quickly, if you can, in a few minutes, can you tell me how you got so involved on the life issue? Because it is a great story.
Yeah. I'll be 78 in September. I still get my 6 miles on the bike in every day and my 82 push-ups, so I'm not going out easy. But my business was a very liberal business I happened to be in, made up of a lot of liberal people. I should clarify that. I sold ladies' swimwear for a living. I was a sales manager for Cola California, and they did their designer line with Calvin Klein. And, I'd always be dialoguing a lot after the issue became there with some of the liberal feminist women, but they respected my ability to sell. So I'm in New York one time, pick up a paper and read that abortion is approved. I didn't see it coming like a lot of good people had, but I read that, and four things went through my mind. My Lord, how cheap life will be if we allow this to happen. Second, I related to the pictures. I was 9 years old at the end of World War II and saw what happened in Nazi Germany. I asked myself then, how could people let that happen? And that affected me a lot on this. Third, I'd coached a lot of children through the years on sports, and I felt every kid deserves a chance. I mean, where are we if we're taking the life of the child right up until the moment of birth and not giving them a shot? And then the fourth thing there, I'm sorry for that other phone ringing, but the fourth thing there was that I felt that I'm really embarrassed with
that. This is family radio. You know, that's part of life.
Yeah, okay. Well, Phyllis is on the other line.
Okay.
And the fourth thing was that, along with that, of course, the most important of all, and this really, really hits in on why I'm involved in both this and marriage, why you can't shove one to the corner. The Lord will judge us someday on whether we stood up for life. Did we go out and do something about it? Did we put our action into our words? And all those things have kept me involved in that for 39 years, very much in an activist manner, actually traveling even to Ireland, my forefathers are from, to talk over there the value of how well they've done. Ireland and Malta, the only two European countries that have never had abortion spoil their land, so soil their land.
Now, what was it you gave up, Jim? You said
you know, and I want to say why I did this. A lot of my good times were with beer. I enjoyed a glass of beer. No drinking problem by any means. In fact, I see some of the kids today handle a six-pack very easily. At that time, maybe if I had two beers, it was a lot. But it was at a football game or a good time. And I associated the selfishness of what abortion was as something where people would affect another one in order to supposedly make their life better. That's basically what boils us exactly what Mother Teresa said. What a great tragedy that a woman would kill her own child to think that it makes her life better. I'm paraphrasing there. So I gave up beer, and at the beginning, you know, as a pledge that I wouldn't drink another beer until abortion ended. I often kid Peter, if you're at my funeral, you're a lot younger guy, and I am. You can put a six pack on top of that with me when they put me under. That's the reason why. At the beginning, guys would give me a little say, "Aren't you going to have a beer today?" No, I've stuck with that for almost 39 years in case of doing that. So. Anyway, it's good to be on the radio and telling you that, Peter. I'll tell you that.
Well, it's good to have that. You know, that's commitment. And if anything, Jim, you are a committed person. Now, let's get to the main issue of what I want to talk with you about. You know, as I described you, I went out to Holy Name Cathedral, which is that's really the most famous Catholic church in Chicago.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Cardinal George speaks there.
That would be the home of Cardinal George.
The home of Cardinal George.
He will go to the various parishes, but that's the cathedral is where, whether it's Mother's Day or whether it's the recognizing people of a marriage of over 50 years, the cathedral is the headquarters, yes.
And he essentially, that's why that's the target for the Gay Liberation Network and other homosexual activists who are now picketing directly in front of a church. Now, Jim, you're Catholic. I'm not, but I am a churchgoer. Tell me how you feel, how you would feel if you walked up to go to church on Sunday and you saw a bunch of people marching with hateful signs, such as one that calls Cardinal George an arch bigot.
Yeah, I saw the signs, Peter, and it's beyond disgusting. It's beyond description. To do that at such a sacred time. But what I've always thought about these people, they're in a niche of their own. There are homosexuals, and there are homosexual activists. Some homosexuals live their life. I'm sorry for the choices they made. They've made their choice, but they live it without imposing in such a hateful manner the arrogance of what they've done on something like that. To be there and willing to be everything that they're accusing people that stand up for marriage as the best choice for family and children, and accuse them of not being tolerant. And one thing that your listening audience should recognize here, the small majority of people, once marriage is available even in these states, very small percentage participate in that. And one of the biggest reasons is the number of partners they have throughout their life to begin with. This is the key point, whether it's marriage, military, whether it's the transfusion of blood where you no longer can say you don't want, I guess you can say you don't want the transfusion, but where now homosexuals are allowed to give blood through the lack of defense of the marriage amendment that President Obama should stand up to. All this leads to one thing, and that's to force down people's mouths with whatever crude way they attempt to do it, like the picket of the good cardinal, that homosexuality will be accepted as a good choice. That's their whole goal is.
Yeah, that's, of course, to understand the homosexual activist movement, it's all about forced acceptance of their lifestyle.
That's a good word, forced acceptance.
Yeah, and Jim, let me clarify. I'm not sure if homosexuals can give blood even in the military right now, but it is interesting, you are absolutely right, that they are crusading now, even on that issue. They're crusading to have any restrictions against men who have sex with men, and that's what the restrictions are all about. Men who have had sex with men, I think since 1977, or way back anyway, I can't remember the exact year, cannot give blood. And women who've had sex with men, who've had sex with men, cannot give blood either. So obviously there's something very dangerous, risky about homosexual sexual behavior between men, and that's what that was about. But now,
all
Jim,
those are moves to, as you said, forced exception of this. And what gets me is that at something as sacred as your religious faith, as the mass that's attended by the cardinal. And on a Sunday, you're going there for that, and the police do nothing about this. The way I understand it, and you were there, I wasn't. They're not across the street. They're not. They're not 20 feet away from the steps that you walk up. Are you telling me they were walking right in front of the steps themselves?
They were. The police said you have to keep the walkway clear, but they were marching in a sort of a semicircle or an oblong circle. Pretty much in front of the steps of Holy Name Cathedral.
Well, that's pathetic.
And I don't think that's necessary. And I'm wondering why that's. I guess we need to talk to somebody like Tom Brekka, a legal authority, who understands. But it just shows, you know, in the homosexual side has the power. They've got the power in Illinois and especially Chicago. And you know that, Jim.
Yeah, they do. But your point earlier, Peter, is such a well taken one about you have to make room on the on your plate for not only the horrible abortion issue where the child is brutally killed, but this issue, which the child and the family is just as dead. I mean, if all of a sudden this is taught that it's a good choice, and that's a very good point, because now they're moving towards, they're not accepting, as you said earlier, not accepting civil unions, which in itself is wrong. But they're not happy with that. They don't. They have no real strong reason on what they're losing on not being able to make a union and call it marriage itself. Because my understanding isn't it yours, Peter? They have all the other rights that they've claimed they haven't had before.
Yeah. Civil unions gives them pretty much the rights and responsibilities of marriage. Calls it a different name. And now they've just introduced a bill, again, the three homosexual representatives, Greg Harris, Deborah Mell, and the other woman. I wasn't aware there was a third openly homosexual but representative in Illinois. But they've introduced this bill, 1570, and I would encourage citizens in Illinois to immediately call your representatives and tell them to oppose the same-sex so-called marriage bill, because it's not really marriage, folks. You can pass it, you can legalize it, but two men can never get married and two women can never get married. It just can't happen. But they've introduced this, and now the power structure with the media as cheerleader is going to get behind this. And Jim, we know what's coming. There'll be a massive push to add Illinois to the seven states now that either had homosexual marriage imposed on them or had it voted through, as just happened in the state of Washington, signed by another so-called Catholic, Jim. The governor of Washington State signed that.
We can't let that happen, Peter.
Okay, and we're talking to Jim Finnegan. We'll be right back after the break. Our website is AmericansForTruth.org.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Americans for Truth Hour. And let me remind everybody, we Americans for Truth constantly needs funds. We need help to do our work. We have so much to do. There are so much to expose. We go to the conferences, sometimes the gay activist conferences. We went down to the Southern Poverty Law Center. We had a very successful press conference there calling attention to the SPLC's hate politics, where they're labeling Americans for Truth, Family Research Council, all these pro-family organizations. They call them hate groups because what do they want to do? They want to marginalize. That's what the left does. They want to demonize and stigmatize these groups. Well, that's exactly what the Gay Liberation Network and assorted other homosexual activists are seeking to do to Cardinal George, to the Catholic Church, to Illinois Family Institute, to Americans for Truth, to anybody who resists their agenda. They want to marginalize Cardinal George. That's why they march outside with signs that say, "Arch bigot Cardinal George." Now, Jim, what's interesting here is, you and me have talked so often about how Christians, evangelicals, Catholics, people of faith who are involved in the culture war are usually, they're very defensive. It's constantly, the other side is full speed ahead, 100 miles an hour, very aggressive. The people who are defending truth, God's truth, that marriage is between one man and one woman, that homosexual behavior is immoral and changeable, it's destructive. We're often, defensive, and that's because the media is against us and people don't understand. They don't want to be called names. They don't like being called a homophobe or a bigot. And so here we see what recently happened with Cardinal George was he made a comment in which he said that it made a comparison of homosexuals marching in the streets, basically critical of the Catholic Church. He said he made the comparison to the KKK. He said, here's what he said to a local news station in Chicago. He said, the context of this was rerouting the gay pride, the very bawdy, yes, obnoxious gay pride parades that every year in Chicago, they're huge, huge things. Over 100,000 people attend to watch these things. They didn't want the parade going by the church on a Sunday morning during mass. And here's what George told. This happened several weeks ago. He said, you don't want the gay liberation movement to morph into something like the Ku Klux Klan demonstrating in the streets against Catholicism. So I think if that's what's happening, and I don't know that it is, but I would respect the local pastor's, position on that. And I'm sorry, it was another church, Catholic church, that didn't want the Mount Our Lady of Mount Carmel. They did not want that these sometimes half naked. I've seen actual frontal nudity at these events. We've chronicled it for Americans for Truth, but they didn't want this rambunctious and very perverted celebration coming down in front of the church on Sunday. Very reasonable. Well, he made that statement. What did the homosexual lobby do in Chicago? They started whining and screaming. Oh, they wanted an apology. And lo and behold, Jim, Cardinal George ultimately, at first, he said, no, that's an apt. He didn't say that all homosexuals or even most homosexuals are like the Klan. He said you don't want it to evolve into something like the Ku Klux Klan, which the Klan was very anti-Catholic. And so he just recently in January, he did apologize. He relented. And here's he said, I'm truly sorry for the hurt my remarks have caused. He basically apologized for making that statement with the Ku Klux Klan in it. Now, this is a long lead in, Jim, but here's what I'm getting at. The Gay Liberation Network, Cardinal George actually used the word gay liberation. I think he was thinking of perhaps the Gay Liberation Network, which has protested Holy Name. They are in some ways like the Ku Klux Klan.
Absolutely.
Now, why would I say that? Let me just give you an illustration that I want you to comment. I at this last demonstration that was just in front of the church where they're calling the Cardinal George nasty names, what did they do? They had these signs are making these terrible, this name calling. But let's look at the record of the Gay Liberation Network. As you know, Jim, Americans for Truth held its banquet in Arlington Heights at the Christian Liberty Academy. The morning that of the day of our banquet, two large paver bricks were thrown through the windows of the Christian Liberty Academy, which would be bad enough, but there was a note attached saying, shut down Lively. Scott Lively was the speaker who was being honored at our banquet. And so this, you know, this was an act of hate. And then a website was posted right afterwards claiming responsibility for this awful act. And the Gay Liberation Network, and I bet you don't know this, Jim, they said on a gay website that they explicitly said that Bob Schwartz from the Gay Liberation Network said he would not condemn the actions of the persons. I'm reading from a quote here. Gay Liberation, we did not and will not condemn the actions of persons who threw the bricks, assuming that they did so out of hatred of Lively, LaBarbara, Americans for Truth, obviously, and the Christian Liberty Academy.
Doesn't surprise me, but shameful, shameful on him.
I mean, imagine Jim Finnegan, a pro-family leader. Imagine if there was a brick attack on Equality Illinois, a homosexual activist group. Now, imagine if Jim Finnegan, let's say you're a senior fellow at the Americans for Truth, Jim, and you came out and made a statement on a website saying, I will not condemn the brick attack on a homosexual group. Jim, they would call you a hate group, and you probably would be investigated by the FBI.
Yeah, and this is where we are in the country, Peter. This is why people have to wake up and smell the coffee. I mean, this is how far we've come, by people staying silent and not getting involved. No, you're not talking about throwing bricks through their windows or involving yourself in armed resistance necessarily or fisticuffs or anything like that. But you certainly have to have the guts to speak up and say, this is enough. We're not going to go any further with this. You're right on one thing. This was an effort to neuter, really, to silence, demonize him or marginalize. Either one is fine. The cardinal, I think he was right on with that statement. All you have to do is look at the two incidents you just said.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that
thrown through a window. To be outside the while he's saying mass and people are going through there. The third one, perfect example again, they knew what they were doing when they scheduled the parade to go by this particular church. And by the way, my understanding is the pastor there is very open to, I'm not saying that he supports homosexuality, but he's open to that, to those people, to the admonition from the good Lord that we have to love the sinner, hate the sin. I certainly would qualify there. But to go by there at 10 o'clock when people are coming in with their children, that's disgusting. And this is where we are. And for the city of Chicago to allow that obscenities to occur, I know you've been down there. They simulate sexual acts on the during the parade itself. If you go to San Francisco, it's even worse. The sexual acts occur.
Yeah.
They've taped them. They've shown them. You couldn't put it in a movie today. What goes on there? But this is where they are, and they'll continue to do this until people wake up and say enough is enough. And I want to end this little point here. I said at the last segment, marriage and all these demands are hit it right in the button. It's words I'll use from now on: forced acceptance of that lifestyle. But what happens? Once the marriage thing, just look to the history in Massachusetts, other places where this has occurred. Once it's recognized as marriage per se, and civil unions, they've already tried this with several bills, then you have to teach that to your children as young as 6, 7, and 8 years old, what homosexuality is about. It's a good choice, as well as marriage is a good choice, bachelorhood is a good choice. Priesthood or the clergy is a good choice. That's what they're doing.
Well, yeah, Jim, and
they realize they're getting to the children. That's what they want to do, Pete.
Yeah, and Jim, of course, they want to teach it in schools. In fact, now it's mandatory in California, and they want to do that everywhere. Pretty much when you see something happen in California or Massachusetts, you know it's going to come to Illinois. You know it's going to come to Florida. What their goal is, again, using the state, using state power to push the acceptance of homosexuality as a natural and acceptable lifestyle. Jim, let me read more from the Gay Liberation Network because I want your reaction. Remember when we interviewed him, Professor Howell was fired by the University of Illinois, and then he was reinstated after a lot of protest.
Yes.
And then ultimately they ended up pushing him out anyway. But listen to this. Bob Schwartz again from the Gay Liberation Network. Bob said that he wrote me a note. He said, just a note to advise you that I asked the new president of Illinois, University of Illinois, to support the termination of anti-gay bigot natural law professor Howell. So now, the University of Illinois fires a guy for teaching Catholicism, Catholic theology, natural law, theology, morality with regard to homosexuality. He's fired, and the Gay Liberation Network acclaims it. Now, I ask you, is that hateful?
Oh, it's epitome of hate. There's no question about it. It's no different than in California on Proposition 8, or the people that voted for it. I'll never understand under the law how they could do this. They get the names of the people that voted for it, contact their employers, demand that they fire them, demand intimidate the people themselves at their homes to where people are, particularly of Mormon faith there. So this involves not just the Catholics and the wonderful Christians that are out there, but the Mormons, a lot of people. This is what they're built on: arrogance, hate, intimidation. I mean, I hate to say these things, but that's what it boils down to. You have to realize that.
And Jim, the point is that the cardinal did not need to apologize, because unfortunately, for people like the guys who, you know, these activists, these hateful activists at the Gay Liberation Network, they sense weakness and they push harder.
Absolutely.
And I think if the cardinal, he's done a lot of good things, and I'm not a Catholic, so I can say this, I think, easier than you can. If he could use his authority to sort of fight back on the issue of marriage. I think I think if he did, if he said, look, the civil unions law is already repressing freedom, if he spoke out more on the side of basic morality and was not defensive, I think he'd get more respect and probably more followers.
Well, first of all, Peter, he was correct on that. I mean, there's no question with all these incidents you just cited. That's exactly what the Ku Klux Klan did. They tried to silence the church.
Yeah, hold on. We're talking to Jim Finnegan, who is just a great activist from the state of Illinois, also now living in Florida part-time. And Jim is active also with DefendMarriageIllinois.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the final segment with Jim Finnegan here, who's a good friend and a great activist, and somebody that a lot of people respect in Illinois and in Florida and across the country for the work that he's done. And Jim, I hope I didn't want to be misunderstood here. I'm not telling Cardinal George as a non-Catholic what to do. I'm just making an observation that oftentimes our leaders, whether it's Cardinal George, whether it's Rick Warren in California, who sort of sold out after he got criticized by the gay activists, Laura Schlesinger, you know, what happens is they're bullies. These guys are political bullies. It's no coincidence that they're on the steps of Holy Name Cathedral, or almost on the steps. They're trying to intimidate people, and these are far left wing activists. The fact that Gay Liberation Network would not condemn the violent attack on Christian Liberty Academy says all you need to know about those guys. Because I don't know any pro-family leader who, if somebody asked him, hey, what about that awful attack? What about that? If there was a violent attack against a gay organization, they wouldn't say, oh, we oppose that. Just like Jim, so many times you've probably been asked, oh, what about those people who kill abortion, who try to murder abortionists? You condemn violence.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes. And so this says what the Gay Liberation Network's about. But because the media is so left-wing biased in Chicago, so incredibly pro-gay biased, these guys have very little accountability, and so they're allowed to get away with this stuff. And lo and behold, Cardinal George makes this apology. Now, people were telling him, you don't need to apologize. Already you've got – I could give more examples from the Gay Liberation Network. Here's one where Bob Schwartz applauded when Wright State University tried to ban a Christian group. He applauded them. The same Bob Schwartz, once he told me this, I don't know if you remember this story, Jim, but he told me he wanted to push me, he would push me in the street.
Yes, I remember you telling me that.
We were at a gay protest. I was on the other side. He was on the pro-homosexual side. It was a gay youth event in downtown Chicago. And he said, if it weren't for your friends standing nearby, and he pointed to the cops, there were a few cops there to protect me, you know, because of people like him, probably. But he said, if it weren't for your friends nearby, I'd push you into the street.
I think you could say, Peter, once they sense weakness And you have to say that. Once they sense weakness, they smell blood, and they'll zero in on you, they'll continue it. And you have to get up in the morning and say, you know, Lord, I'm doing what I want to do, what you want me to do, and your prayers have to bring that in. Ask for guidance from him. But you also know in the back of your mind that you're doing the right thing. You're pleasing the Lord when you stand up for marriage. You stand up for life.
Okay, Jim, I got a question for you. Tell me, give me in your own words. We got about 6 minutes left. Where do you see the Catholic Church in Chicago? Let's just say not just only Cardinal George, but what should it be doing that it's not doing? What could it be doing? Give me your sense of it down there.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things. First of all, you know, the Cardinal is a good and holy man. He's done many, many fine things in Chicago. And he didn't inherit a real, after Cardinal Bernardine, in my opinion, he didn't inherit in the seamless garment and all that argument, which weakened the abortion struggle, strengthened it for the abortion people. So he didn't have the easiest thing when he came in. But he's done a good job in many ways. I think in this area, we need the priests throughout, and you got to realize priests do follow leadership. The cardinal is the good shepherd, not only of the flock, the Catholics within the state of Illinois, but the good shepherd for the bishops within the six dioceses and that make up Illinois. So they do and will listen. Some won't, by the way, sadly, but most of them. That makes a huge difference. If he came out with a strong statement that we need to support the effort going on right now to speak out against the horrors, who would think in our lifetime we'd even utter these words of making marriage into something that it never was, sexual marriage? Whenever I say that, I got to stop and think, this is mind-boggling. In my lifetime, we'd even be saying that. If he'd come out with a statement on that, to support the people like Illinois Family Institute, your organization, like the work that we're doing together on defending marriage with a petition drive, all those things would help a great deal. And I don't think he needs to apologize to people that make fools of themselves attacking him and attacking everything the Catholic Church stands for by parading in front of, I mean, what a horrible sign, arch bigot, a play on Archbishop. Cardinal George, Archbigot of Chicago. You have to show strength, and the strength comes from your beliefs and from the good Lord and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot, I think, of goodwill for marriage. I think people are generally intimidated in Chicagoland, Jim. I think that's a safe thing to say. Now, I should add also, just for a fact here, that the homosexual website that Bob Schwartz made that comment about not condemning the violent attack against Christian Liberty Academy, that website, to their credit, they put his post up. They've kept it up. And Timothy Kincaid, who's one of the writers and editors at Box Turtle Bulletin, which is a very radically pro-homosexual website, Tim Kincaid said, because Bob Schwartz made that statement, now this is Tim Kincaid, a fellow homosexual activist, he said that he would put Bob Schwartz in the category of a real hater and violence cheerleader.
He did. I didn't know that.
He said, when we base the acceptability of hatred and violence on whether we like or dislike the target, we have no ethical basis at all. The ethics you display, talking about Bob Schwartz not condemning, the ethics you display here are indistinguishable from any fag basher. That's his word. This gay activist, Timothy Kincaid's word, are indistinguishable from any fag basher who justifies his hatred and violence on the idea that the targets deserve it. And so he condemned Bob Schwartz there. But we got about 3 minutes left, Jim, and we did have a couple breaks in the line there. Where do we go from here on the issue of marriage? Are you bullish about protecting marriage in Illinois?
Well, I'm bullish about where we've made the efforts, where we've gathered signatures for a non-binding petition, which you mentioned at the beginning of your parish. I'm bullish on the response you get, the people that come up to the table, that stand in line to sign it. The people are there on that. So that part is bullish. The non-bullish part is the fact that, unfortunately, a lack in some cases of finances hurts, a lack of openly support from the churches, all the churches, the good Christian churches, for certain, as well as, of course, the Catholic Church. We need more of that. sometimes you have to hit rock bottom before you start to fight back. And I think we've hit rock bottom, Peter.
Yeah, well, I guess the true rock bottom would be if they actually push through same-sex marriage. I think it's going to be hard for them. But
I don't think that'll. I don't think that will happen.
Yeah.
And one of the things we do, whatever number of petitions we get, we intend to take them to Springfield with a strong message to the politicians, vote at your peril on something like this, where three people that are open homosexuals demand that at the expense of so many families, so many children, 2,000 years of the strongest, really the strongest strength behind marriage is the sacrament itself, the marriage itself. That's our strongest. That's what keeps our family, keeps our country strong. And when they're willing to throw that out, I think we can prevail if we wake up and get together even more.
Well, yeah, and I think the fact that Illinois has such a strong pro-life movement shows that Illinois also is not Massachusetts, it's not California, but we do have a communication problem. We do have a media gym that is in the bag of the homosexual lobby.
Let me tell you something else along that line.
20 seconds, Jim.
Yeah, in Florida, we did approve a defense of marriage. It's in the Constitution now, spelled out. And the key to it, without any question, was, well, number one, the leadership of a guy by the name of John Stimberger, like yourself, same type of person, and the cooperation between churches of all brands.
Yes,
strong.
Yes. Yes, and everybody shares the support for marriage. Jim, thanks so much. We're going to be talking to you next week. Folks, Americans for Truth need your help. You can listen to our old shows at AmericansForTruth.org, and you can also make a donation at the top of the page. There's a donate button. So we look forward to talking to you next week. Go out there, call your representative in Springfield, and speak out against the same-sex marriage legislation. Next time.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.